Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men Talk. We actually welcome you to the program this morning. We thank you for joining us. For all those who called in at 646-668-2636, welcome. Thank you for joining us. See you here on the switchboard, on the switchboard, everything as well this morning. I just want to take time out and share some few words with you. We are live here on the 13th of May, so tomorrow is Mother's Day, and I wish all those sisters and mothers and my wife and my mother happy Mother's Day. We know that women, some of the sisters here do listen in the program. So they'd be calling me and telling me they heard some things, or they shared it with their husbands and their fathers. So we appreciate that also. But again, I am Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Christian Talk. I'm going to go with prayer. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about how can we serve. You know, with Mother's Day, again, Mother's Day sets the whole atmosphere sometimes for the weekend. But recognizing our mother, recognizing mothers in our lives, our wives, and how they serve and what we're willing to do for them to celebrate them and how that can translate into our everyday walk, into our everyday service of Christ. What are we willing to do to please him? Again, because our life, we are, our purpose, our whole purpose in life here is to live a life that's glorifying to him. And that we will stand before him and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we're going to talk a little bit about it today. I encourage you, brothers, again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad. We can bring it to the conversation. You can join us. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do, Lord God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over the body of Christ today, oh God. To continue to watch over those, oh God, who are in the midst of, oh God, being persecuted for who you are, oh God. But just for the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, we thank you. We ask you to encourage them, protect them, oh God. Oh God, strengthen them in the midst of the persecution today, oh God. Father, I pray today, oh God, for the husbands, fathers, and sons, oh God. For those who may be struggling, God. For those who might need a word today, oh God, a word of encouragement, oh God. Because, Father, we know sometimes, oh God, even in the midst of celebration, God, there's trials, there's temptations, oh God. There's struggles, Lord God, that men go through every day, Lord God. So, Father, today I'm going to pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you have touched the life of a man, no matter what his struggle is, maybe spiritual, emotional, financial, physical, Lord God. Touch him, God. Heal him, Lord God. Father, through your Holy Spirit, give him an answer for his needs and for his in the church, oh God. Father, we lift up the leaders, elders, and those who serve behind the scenes, oh God, in ministry, and serve your church, oh God, the flock of God. Let me ask God today, God, you would bless the leaders, God, the leaders of this country, the leaders of the cities, counties, towns, mayors, city councilmen, city council persons, Congress, the Senate, state legislatures, God, those who have given government authority today, God, I pray, oh God, over their hearts and minds today as they guide the lead of the people, oh God, that you fulfill the purpose that you have for government, God, to organize a society, oh God, to bring order to the chaos. So, Father, we just thank you right now. Continue to bless us, continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. So, well, brother, today I just want to talk a little bit again. We're talking about how can we serve? What is your ministry? And I just want to touch on a couple of things, because to be a servant, you know, servanthood is a central theme of the Bible. Remember, who Christ came to serve. Christ came to be a sacrifice. Christ came to serve us as that sacrifice, to shed his blood, that we can be reconciled back to God, the Father, God, through his sacrifice, for living a holy and righteous life before him, and then being crucified and paying the price for our sin, paying that price, taking on the full wrath of God for our sins, that we might be redeemed back to the Father. So he came as a servant, God. So we ask that today, and brothers, you consider what are we doing. You know, we're saved by faith and not by works, but we have to understand, too, there's a call in each of our lives. And I just say that you take time out. We're in the month of June here. We're going on the second quarter of the year. Next month, June, be 6 months into the new year. And we all have to examine ourselves. What have we done? What are we doing? What kind of ministry are we serving? And are we serving others? I'm going to touch on a few scriptures here to give you a foundation of what we're talking about today and to encourage you to examine the choices, the time, the spending. What are you sowing into? What are you sowing? What kind of time are you sowing in? Physical time. There's a lot of things that you can be doing in the body of Christ as men of God. And I know a lot of things we get caught up with throughout the year, throughout the workday, throughout the week. But do we take time to spend time and to give sacrificially of ourselves for the things of God? And I can take on a lot of, there can be a lot of things. There's no one thing. There's no sanctified, no holy thing that we can do. But the thing is, do we have a heart to serve? And I think that's the most important thing that each of us has to be able to understand. I'm going to share with you from Mark chapter 10, verse number 35, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So that's one thing you have to remember. What are we giving our life to? What are we giving our life to? You know, when Jesus came, you know, is he in what he did, or do we recognize what we did, and are we thankful for it? And do now, are we willing to serve because of what he did and by following his example? Amen. So I'm going to go to I'm going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. The grace that we've received, the gift of God that we have been given through salvation, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through having a renewed mind, a new way of thinking. Now, are we living it out? Are we applying by the newness, the new heart that we have to be able to serve others around us in the community, in the body of Christ? And what are we going to do? There's a lot of things. That's something I always say here in Scripture Men's Talk. You know, we may not know our gifts. We know the list of spiritual gifts that we've been, I believe most of us have been teaching about spiritual gifts and at different times, different phases of understanding and knowledge. But I want to make it basic, because we all are given a gift and a talent and an ability to be able to do something. But we just have to be diligent to look for that something. And even if it's something that we are not, something that we wouldn't readily think that we can do, But can we be led by the Spirit to go into an uncomfortable place to be able to serve him? Because knowing that God is with us, God is in us, he's going to give us and make a way for us to either find that place or make that opportunity lead to another opportunity where we can see something. Because I think the more that we can try a lot of things when it comes to serving and being part of ministry and see where we fit in. But if we never try something and see if it fits or not, then we never know how God can use us. So I think it's twofold. We might have had the thing that we would like to do and we're comfortable doing, but then outside of our comfort zone because there's a need that needs to be met. So, gentlemen, brothers, are we willing to meet a need? You know, do we see something that needs to be done, and then we're gonna put our hands to it and then do the best we can by the leading of the Holy Spirit? I think that's what we do. We sometimes forget what the Holy Spirit can do. Remember, if you look at Scripture from the Old Testament to the New, look at the men that God used. These men were not professional anything. They were not, you know, they were not the most educated. Just go back to Jesus and the 12 disciples. Not even the Old Testament, but let's go to the 12 that Jesus chose. They were not the educated, the religious leaders. They were not. They were fishermen. They were laborers. They were some of them. Then we had the zealot. We had the thief. We had a lot of people, a lot of different personalities just in the 12 disciples who became the apostles. But their common denominator was Christ Jesus and knowing who God is. And then also the important thing is submission to the Holy Spirit. So now we, as brothers and as men of God, born-again believers, that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. So we can truly say, as the Scripture says, I know sometimes we use Scripture as cliches, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That means he can give us wisdom, understanding, and guidance to do a thing that needs to be done in this season. Because it may not be something that you're going to do, but in this season, in this time, there's a space that needs to be filled, and as a man, we should be able to step in and fill it until someone else will hold that spot, but not let it go vague, not let it go void and empty, and no one's there. And so, like I say, I'll say it again, and if anybody who knows me, I say it a lot. If you don't know what to do, go to your pastor, say, Pastor, what do you need? Where do you need somebody? Because it may be it's just to hold a spot. He needs someone to hold up this wall, this section of the wall until someone else comes along. And God will give you the grace and the wisdom and the strength to be able to do that, to just stand and fill the gap, stand in the gap for those things. And you never know. You know, we never know what you'll be comfortable with. And I think that's the biggest thing about God is if we obey him, he can help us overcome our uncomfortableness. I think that's a word. So we, you know, sometimes we don't like doing things because we don't feel comfortable. We like doing comfortable things that we're secure, that we know we can do. But I say this to every brother. You wasn't always comfortable doing it. You tried it. You liked it. You figured you found out you was good at it, and now you've become comfortable. So try a new thing and believe in God, because there's, again, you're meeting a need. And as a man, as a husband and father and son, we should understand the need to meet a need, especially in the body of Christ when it comes to ministry, and just be able to do the work. Let me go. I'm gonna go real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Christ, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. Are we serving for Christ's sake to glorify him? Because even sometimes when we do things, especially for strangers, I mean, I use this example for outreach and evangelism. We're not going there to promote ourselves. We're going there to promote Christ. When we do outreach, do street evangelism, street outreach, this is to represent him in the community, in our communities, in these neighborhoods, in these places and spaces where God can put us. Are we glorifying him? And, you know, And I say that about evangelism because evangelism, I think, is one of the things that I believe that every person, every member of the body of Christ should be able to develop as part of their discipleship walk. Let me say it like that. As they're maturing and maturation and being discipled, evangelism, how do we share and how do you tell about what you believe? And are we in a place where we're comfortable to share what who we are? I mean, know what we believe and why we believe. That's the title of a book. I read a long time ago when I first got saved. Know what we believe and why we believe it. And then that's important because that's where all evangelism starts. And then, I mean, you know, we all have the evangelism of our family members. We have our family members, wives, children, brothers, sisters, mothers, cousins, aunties, whatever, who knew us before. We get saved and we tell them all about Christ. So they knew us before. They knew us, you know, if we was raised in the family and we have some of our family saved. We got half our family saved, half our family's not. And we got our family that's in the middle. Amen? So once we've moved over to the side of the saved folk, and then we always try to get the unsaved folk who's still living for the world, and we want to all get them saved. Okay, that's fine. That could be a process that every person, God, you know, God will open the hearts and minds of your family members by watching you grow in your faith. But remember, if they see you, they don't see you growing. They just see you with the same thing, but you're not growing in the faith. It's growing in the faith. There's not being fruit in your life. Different things are going on, you know, but you just, you know, and I'm sure I'm not saying it right, but that, you know, do they see a real change? And do they see a consistent growth? That's the thing. Because we are called to grow. We shouldn't still be babes with the milk, but when we talk to them, or as over the years of our salvation, are they hearing a difference? Are they hearing a different understanding, a deeper understanding and knowledge of the Word of God? And then when we talk with them, because remember, we all mature at different levels. And then if they know you were saved at 20, you're still saying the same thing at 40. You've been saved 20 years. They've been watching you, but you haven't shown them anything. You're at the same spiritual level. You're having the same conversations with them. Okay, but again, every man, you have to judge yourself where you are. Look in the mirror and see where you are. You growing in your faith, that you are now coming with them differently, that you're speaking to them differently, that you're speaking a word of application about the Word of God on how you see life. And trust me, as you keep living longer and getting older, there's going to be sickness, there's going to be death, and there's going to be different opportunities where they're going to ask you these questions, and are you prepared to answer the question? I always say when it comes to friends and family, or when we talk about evangelism, can you answer their questions and not always try to come off thinking if they ask you a question, they're challenging your faith and you taking it personally like they're attacking you? Or can you answer their legitimate questions for their understanding and knowledge? Because the Bible says we're all called to grow in knowledge and grace of God. Amen? So are we growing that we can, again, we're talking about evangelism to our family. So can we talk to them? Now, the other evangelism about serving. I'm going to go back to outreach, to serve the outreach to strangers, going into the community. Can we go into the community and engage people about the things of God and how God is different, why must they be saved? I think that's the biggest thing. Can you today explain to someone in 5 minutes, 3 minutes or less, why they must be saved and what must they do to be saved? And is that something you're prepared to speak about? Is it something that's just part of you, that it's a response that's in you, you know, that you know what to say to make them understand? Again, we're not trying to convince anyone, but we have to give an answer of the hope that we have in us. And can you do that? Can you do that? Can you explain the hope with lies within you and what they must do to be saved? Why they need to be saved? Who is Jesus? Who is God? What is the Holy Spirit? You know, And then and your wisdom in discernment is because I've learned this over the years. People ask you a lot of questions by a lot of things they see other church folk do. So you have to be at that discernment too to understand the different traditions that a lot of things people say, and ask you about it. But do you have an answer that you can hold a conversation about the faith that you believe in? Because it's like anything else. If I ask you about what's it like to be a father, what's it like to be a husband, tell me about your kids, tell me about your wife. Can you have that same conversation when it comes to the things of God, about the Bible, about Jesus, about God, the God of the Bible? You know, because people say call a lot of things God, but can you have that conversation to be able to share with someone to encourage them so they can understand the faith? It's one thing I think we believe here. I see that we can't just take for granted that people understand Christianity because there's a lot of delusion. But my question to you is, do you understand Christianity? Do you have a foundation where you know what you believe and why you believe? I think that's the biggest thing. So again, we're talking about serving and ministry and wanting to encourage the brethren and where you are. You know, serving others, you know, that's the essential of ministry. Do we have a heart to serve for those, at least of these, for you know, the others, other people, saved and the unsaved? Because, you know, in the body of Christ, you know, we have to be in a place that we're willing to sacrifice, to put in, to show love to our fellow believers. We're all capable, but are we willing? I think that's what it is. Are we living lives we're willing to give of ourselves? Or are we selfish? I mean, as simple as that. Are you selfish? Would you just do the things that you want to do? You spend your time on what you want like to do. Your gratification, what makes you feel good and what you enjoy. Or are you willing to sacrifice for another that someone else might be blessed, might be encouraged, might be strengthened? And that's one of the things we have to figure out. We have to search our hearts and minds about it when we talk about the scripture. And these are things I'm just trying to share with you in the moment, talking about your ministry. That's the biggest thing I just wanted to share and drop in. What is your ministry? What are you doing with your ministry? Again, we know we're moving into the second quarter of the year. What's your plans for summer outreach? What's the plans for who are you going to reach? How many people are you going to reach? You know, my ministry, my local church here, we're doing Bible giveaways. I think it was February. We did 100 Bibles in 30 days. We're about to do another one. We want to give away 100 Bibles in a month's time. You know, are we having a strategy and a plan? We can get everyone in the church involved. It's not a select group of people, but everyone in the church to just give away Bibles, to put the word of God into the hands of people that we don't know, that we do know, to encourage the body of Christ. You know, something I always talk about here, Christian men's talk, with a lot of churches have quote unquote transitioned or shut down. There's a lot of folk out there who don't have home churches. I mean, they may pretend, they may be online, but they don't have a place where they gather face to face and in person and build those personal relationships. You know, the world's talking about now that we lost a lot of social interaction because of COVID shutdowns. We're talking about the children have lost developmental milestones and emotional growth because they were not in person face to face for almost 2 years, going to school on the TV screen, on the Zoom. And trust me, I got children, my grandchildren, other children I know, they struggle with it, the way they had it set up. But again, but that's a whole other discussion because I don't believe that they were really ready to do that online education to the best way it could have been done. But anyway, but now there's men and women of God out there who are looking for church terms. Are we reaching those? Are we checking in on people? Are we inviting people? You know, are we doing things so we can build and reconnect in the in-person You know, I've said it before, you know, I'm not, let me say this, you know, I'm not the pastor, but I believe that there's a thing that a lot of the Zoom and the online stuff folk need to come back to the buildings, come back together. Everything else in the culture is open. Everything else. And I mean everything. I'm going to call it out. The stores, the malls, the bars, the strip clubs, movie theaters, everything else is open post the shutdown, but we still have people who will not come back to the buildings. We have believers, well, we have folk who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ who still are not coming in person. But if you look at their regular, if they look at their non-spiritual life, I'll put it like that, they're everywhere else, but they can't come together in worship. They can't come together in person worship and serving in the body of Christ because they still with the COVID thing. They still with the whatever, you know, and they're comfortable sitting at home. They're comfortable watching it on TV, you know, and I think this is every individual choice, but to be able to serve in ministry is in person. It is a hug, a smile. It's an embrace. It's encouraging words. It's just being in the company of believers, being connected with like-minded people, and continue this walk and this pilgrimage through this temple realm, that we might be able to now serve one another. And it's nothing like serving a person face to face, being in their company, having that human contact. Amen. So, what's your ministry, brothers? What's going to be your ministry falling forward? What's your vision for your ministry? What's the vision for your family's ministry? What's the vision for you and your wife as a couple to serve? What are you going to do? Pastors, you know, be prepared. Be prepared if some of the brothers hear this and they come and ask you, what do you need? What do you do? You know, give a man, don't put a man off. If I come to you and I'm willing to work, what do you need me to do? Because if you tell me you get back to me and then I'll hear from you for a week, that means you didn't need me. You don't need nothing. There's no place. Let me say it like this. If I come to you and I ask you and you don't ever get back to me, that means that I'm not, you don't see me as a part of ministry or I'm not needed here. And brothers, we all know what it feels like to feel like we're not needed. So I want to remind leadership, pastors, elders, leaders, do your men feel like they're needed in your ministry? Again, this is Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Farr. Do the men in your ministry feel like they're needed there? Do they feel like there's a place for them? Do they feel like their presence and their participation is needed, that they are part of the ministry? Now, we could say that superficially, but my question is it true? And brothers, you know, for deacons, elders, lay leaders, church members, what I call rank and file church folk, do you feel like you're needed in that ministry? Do you feel like there's a place for you? You know, is there? I mean, again, if we are body of Christ, there's so many things that can be done as a church, as a body of believers. There's so much work to be done. And then all it takes is to be discipled, to be mentored, and to be trained, and to do the things that it takes that is needed to be done. You know, some of the things, because again, if we look at scripture, through the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, men were developed in the New Testament. Remember, Jesus took 12 fishermen, zealots, tax collectors, and in 3 years, he converted them into the apostles. He took Paul, who was out here, an antichrist, killing the Christians, thought they were a cult, hunting them down, arresting them, and killing them. And through his encounter with Christ, he was used as a missionary to the Gentiles. So who's in the midst of our congregations? Who are you that God wants to use once you come to a place? And again, are we all growing to get to a place where God is going to use us for his glory? Again, are we in a place and open and hearing what God is going to use us around us? There's so many things going on that we need men to stand up and stand in. Amen? Amen. I'm thinking time as far as this scripture has taught. Again, brothers, just wanted to give this quick encouragement to you to think about it. What is your ministry and how can you serve God? And pray about it. Pray for an answer. Seek out the word to where you can be used by him. Amen. Again, I want to remind you of Grace Community Church's Men's Breakfast Series coming up in June, July, and August. Grace Community Church in Fulton, Maryland. Again, if you text me, call me. I posted on the Facebook page, and the details are there. And also, if you have any brothers, if there's any men's fellowships, men's Bible studies starting up, you know, we have a lot of in-personal Bible studies starting up. And I praise God for them. And there are a lot of different ones in Baltimore, D.C. area. It's starting to pop up regularly. I guess a Monday night, so far I know personally, I have a Monday night in-person Bible study, Friday night online. It's been going on for a long time. But those brothers, they're spread out. They're spread out across the country. So, that's acceptable. But anyway, Church of Redeeming the Lord, every first Saturday. Again, Grace Community Church, they have their summer men's breakfast series in June, July, and August. Also, Grace Community Church, the semester just ended. They were doing Monday night Bible studies. They had multiple small groups. There are small groups, men's groups. Again, brothers, if you're interested, even if you're starting one or if you're interested in being part of one, reach out to me. You receive this link in your text, text me back. I can send you some things. You tell me the day you want to, you're available and what you want to do. And again, sing to God. This is who we are. This is what God we're called to be. And I just want to encourage you, brothers, to continue to press into the things of God and all that you're doing. Amen. And I appreciate you. And I thank you for joining me. Amen. God bless.
Listen, for those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on his promise, understand God has not forgotten you. We're